You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
That's right, you mob. You're listening to AAA Murray Country, and this is the Deadly Choices Show. And I am your host, Sinead Clements. Before I go ahead, I'd like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land here in Meanjin, from which we're broadcasting from today. And welcome you all to our Deadly Choices Show, our weekly show dedicated towards mob making them deadly choices. Now, remember, making a deadly choice can be anything from eating healthy, even though it's getting a bit warmer. And I was just talking about how I'm missing those big warm carbs, but so important that we look after our body, and you are what you eat. So that's why I eat a lot of porridge. Anyway, remaining active in both body, mind, and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with your 715 health checks, resisting any temptation to take up smoking, or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So in this studio today, we're joined by Tracy Prasky, our midwife from our Birthing in Our Community program on the north side. And a little later, we'll have a bit of audio, a bit of yarns from our Deadly Choices events that we just had, the Netball Day and the Golf Men's Health Day, which is awesome. I'm excited to hear from them. But also a little later, we'll have a yarn to one of our doctors, and he's going to give us a bit of an update around COVID-19 and what we should keep in mind heading into the colder months. But now we're talking to Tracy because it's International Day of Midwives next week on May the 5th, next Thursday. So it's always important that, you know, we give our midwives a shout out, and they're so important in our programs like Birthing in Our Community. But Tracy, how you going?
I'm good, thanks, Sinead. How are you?
Very, very well. Now, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, and how long you've been with IUE, and why'd you choose this career path?
Sure. So I have been a midwife now for about 22 years.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm old, I think.
Experience.
Yes. Wise, that's yes, the word. That's it. Yeah, yeah. So I figured out I wanted to be a midwife when I first saw my first birth. I was Whoa. Hooked from there. I was like, oh, that's a cool job. I want to do that.
Did so, you just saw a family member or?
No. In the hospital, we were just doing like a rotation sort of through the hospital, different areas. And I did not realise that midwives could look after women during childbirth, and that you didn't actually need a doctor to be there
wow.
in a normal, healthy, yep. you know, sort of straightforward pregnancy. And so, yeah, there was just midwives in the room, and this baby came out, and it was pretty magic, and that I was hooked from there. Yep.
Yeah, they are. I haven't personally witnessed, but from what I know, they're special, special moments. Now, yeah. What can you tell me exactly what a midwife does apart from be in the room during labour?
Yeah, sure. So a midwife's scope of practice is to look after women from, you know, when they find out they're pregnant. So even, you know, in some cases we can give women like a pregnancy home test to sort of use, or blood test, whatever it is that they want to do. And then we can look after them all the way through their pregnancy, do all of their antenatal care and education, and then we look after them in the hospital for that during their labour and their birth, so that they've got a known carer with them
nice.
At all times, and then we look after mum and baby, the family at home, until babies are 6 weeks old.
Wow, so that's obviously such an important time in a person's and a mum's life and a family's life, bringing, you know, new life into the world. Tell me a bit about Birthing in Our Community. How did you start with them, and what has been the program, I guess, what's the program like been for you?
Yeah, sure. I guess there'd been some really great research that had come out of the BIOC model from Salisbury, from the south side. Mm. You know, I guess the research that sort of made it happen back then was, you know, trying to improve, you know, the health, you know, of women giving birth in Brisbane, you know, just making sure that they had access to services and continuity of care with a midwife is proven by, you know, sort of all the research studies to show that there are better outcomes for women. So not only for them and their babies, but also for their mental health, for their family's well-being, parenting into the future, you know, it's a whole lifestyle change. So from all those research studies, that's how sort of BIOC came about. And then, of course, because the South model has been so popular, then that's why North's come along as well.
Yeah.
Try and, you know, help out the women on the north side of Brisbane over the river.
Hey, there's always yarns about the north versus south,
yeah.
but it's deadly to see, yeah. you know, the programs that have been working, that they, you know, get continued. But I guess it's so important to be connected to the community, right? So, how does the midwife exactly, I guess, work with mums? What does that look like from day to day?
Yeah. So generally when women, you know, sort of find out they're pregnant, so most of or all of the ladies pretty much that we're looking after have all gone to their MAT6 clinics, they've seen their GPs, they all know that they're pregnant, and then it's a service that is then automatically sort of offered to all women. A lot of the time the GPs, you know, will explain to them sort of what that involves, and then they can sort of, you know, give their consent and say, yep, that would interest me. And then, you know, a family support worker would contact them and to do a welcome yarn and just sort of let them know about the program, that the family support workers, you know, work in hand in hand in partnership with us, and that, you know, how the visits are going to look and, you know, all the services that are available through the IUE network as well.
Yeah, and I was just saying a bit earlier, like, how important are home visits, right?
Yeah.
You know, I barely like to leave my house unless it's for work or necessity, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't imagine what it's like, especially with, you know, being pregnant, being, you know, a big belly or having a newborn, what that's the importance that it has on, I guess, their environment to have someone come to them and just really have those face-to-face yarns.
That's it. So we, I guess we sort of, you know, we're really lucky we have transport as well so that, you know, a lot of that we're getting a full-time sort of transport person, which would be great. But at the minute, like the family support workers, you know, they can bring them to any appointments and that includes like other children, you know, babies that they've got a car seat carrier, all that sort of kind of stuff. You know, so there's always someone if they needed to go to the hospital, again, we can, you know, give them that transport to get there. We can do some home visits in the antenatal period. And then the first week, as I said, after baby's born, we're always coming to see them at home pretty much every day for the first week.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you talk about transport. I hate transport. The last thing, I'm from a small town anyway. I didn't even know you had to like wave the bus down when I first moved here. But like, that's the last thing I want to do with a, you know, pregnant or with a newborn. And for those who are just listening, it's AAA Murray Country. I'm here talking to Tracy, one of our midwives for our birthing in our community program on the north side. You know, just in honouring our midwives is so important. International Day of Midwives next Thursday, May the 5th. But you talked a bit about earlier with me that you worked in mainstream hospitals, right? So now that you're working at a birthing in our community program, what's been a bit of a surprise for you?
Well, I guess, yeah, just, you know, learning about more about MOB, you know, that was not something that I had known a great deal about. I guess when you work in the hospitals and particularly in the public health system, you know, they're so big. There's so, you know, you can have 10,000 births a year in each of some of these hospitals. You know, most on the north side are probably anywhere between 3,000 to 6,000.
Wow.
You know, so that's a lot of people. So I guess a lot of people get lost in that system. You know, they do the best they can on a day-to-day basis, obviously. But I guess in term, the big difference is that obviously our system is very much one-on-one. So I, you know, pretty much would see every one of my ladies every 4 weeks in their early pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as they get further along, as that baby's growing inside their tummy, you know, it gets down to every 2 weeks. And then at the end of the pregnancy, it's every week. So that, you know, you're really forming that really close relationship with the ladies, their partners, their kids, their mum, their dad, you know, whoever
it is. The whole family, eh?
The whole family, even the dog most of the time.
Right.
Yeah, or the cat.
Love that.
It's really good. So you sort of, they feel really safe with you. You feel really safe with them. It's a really shared
trust,
relationship.
Right?
Trust. Yep.
It's so important. You know, I think even our, you know, our aunties and uncles, they'll have one bad experience with a hospital or a few and that's it for 10 years, right?
Yeah,
so they just, the trust is lost and it's so hard to rebuild.
Yeah.
And just that culturally appropriate care.
Yes.
What does that look like for you, you know, stepping into this program and obviously, you know, having to provide culturally appropriate care, but also perhaps leave a few midwife kind of tips at the door and, and just build that relationship and rebuild trust that was perhaps lost?
Yeah, for sure. That has been huge, most definitely. So I guess our family support workers have been invaluable. You know, they have provided so much knowledge, you know, every single day. You know, I can I guess I'm learning every day, you know, what to do or not to do, words to use or not to use. I guess a lot of the women have been really honest with me as well, which is great. You know, they'll tell you if something isn't going to work for them or, you know, if you can't explain to them a good reason why they should do a particular test or something like that, then they'll refuse it and that's fine, you know. I guess it's all about sort of informed consent, you know, giving people the reasons why they should do, you know, things perhaps,
yeah, right.
And then giving them all the information to make those choices for themselves.
Some people just kind of tell you, oh, this is the best practice,
yeah.
But it's like, actually, why?
Yeah.
And does it, you know, suit my lifestyle and the way I, you know, live my life and my experiences?
That's right, yeah. So I guess it's just giving people all of the, you know, the choices, all the information so that they can make the right choice for them and their family. So I guess, yeah, that's been really good. And I guess, you know, working with the family support workers, a lot of them are mums themselves as well. So they can, you know, give really good, valuable life sort of experience for themselves, you know. So it's been between myself, the family support worker, and the woman who's pregnant, you'll sit and have a really beautiful conversation. So,
Nice. Yeah,
a lot of it's about pregnancy care as well. But, you know, you unpack a lot of stuff most of our appointments are sort of 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of the time at the GP, obviously they have time constraints. We do too, but, you know, we sort of allow, you know, that rich sort of conversation time, I suppose, because that's really important. You learn a lot about each other.
Right. And yeah, I love that idea, because sometimes when you go into mainstream hospitals, it's just like you're kind of another number and you don't know nothing about your doctor. And you see that, like, when people get to know their doctor over a year or two, like they will follow that doctor wherever that doctor goes, right? I know I've had a few deadly doctors in my time, but you know, you talked about that kind of getting to know each other. And what is it like? Because I feel like in mainstreams, just based on, you know, experiences I've heard from other sisters, it's like you can kind of get passed around a bit from midwife to midwife. And that continuity of care is so important. Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about how BIOC deals with that kind of care?
Yeah, sure. We have, so currently in the BIOC North model, we've got 4 midwives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty small kind of a team. And I guess we've started off that way on purpose. You know, we can only take a small number of women because we want to do this really well. We want to, you know, make sure that it is successful and that it works. So I guess I'm the oldest, wisest.
Yes.
And then there's, you know, the other 3 are younger. So we've got 2 in their 30s and 1 in their 40s kind of a thing.
Mm.
So I guess, you know, it's a really nice, valuable mix. You know, 3 of us have got children. The other young lass hasn't as yet. But we've all come from different experiences, different places in Australia. Lots of different knowledge there, which is really great. We all get on really well as a team. And
it's important.
You know, it's very important. Yeah, we all think the same. And of course, you know, we work really well with the whole, you know, BIOC North team, the whole office. We're based at Strathpine, is all really friendly, all happy people. We all, you know, help each other out. So I guess, you know, with our family support workers, we talk to them, you know, every day, most of the day. We're in and out of the clinics. We go to appointments together. Yeah, it's just a really good relationship and a good team.
Well, it's always good to work a part of, you know, love your job and go to wake up excited to do your job every morning. But for those who are just listening, it's International Day of Midwives next Thursday, May the 5th. It's so important. Now, what are you guys going to be doing in the clinic to celebrate it?
Hopefully having cake.
Yeah, right? Who doesn't love cake?
Yeah.
Especially during winter. I was just saying a bit earlier, I'm supposed to be eating healthier for footy, but for rugby league, but I've left the dietary requirements a bit late. Anyway, I'm going to still enjoy, you know, it's about balance, right? It's always balance. But there's been a lot of, I guess, talk, particularly out of the Salisbury Clinic over the last couple of years, about cutting birth rates and low birth rate, I guess, weight as well. Tell me a bit about that benefit and what you've seen in your experience with the program for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I guess, yeah, a lot of the research, you know, particularly, you know, for Indigenous women, was sort of pointing towards, you know, basically babies coming too early, so quite premature, which obviously has, you know, lots of reasons for babies to stay in hospital, you know, be separated from their parents, you know, lower birth weights as well along because they're coming so early, you know, little babies born sort of well under 2 kilos. And, you know, like there's a lot of health risks associated with prematurity and with low birth weight. So I guess in terms of, you know, the main focus of any midwifery, you know, based practice is to encourage women to be in the best health of their lives while they're pregnancy.
Mm.
So it's not about, you know, just saying to somebody you shouldn't smoke, but explaining why, you know, what that can do to their baby's growth, what that can do to their baby's brain development, you know, how we can sort of help them, you know. I realise that it's not easy to just quit smoking.
Right. Does that not?
It's damn hard.
Yeah, yeah, like it's harder as is. I know, you know, in the experience I've seen my mob try and do it, and You know, sometimes you just want to go buy them a packet because they're stressing you
they're
out.
Stressed,
but like,
that's it. Yep.
It's I can't imagine that kind of stress during pregnancy.
That's
right. And so, you know, sometimes it's better just to ease them, like ease them out of it. You know, I always love that quote as like the fastest way to get to somewhere is by small steps. And so, I guess also. You know, I've seen it and from what I've talked to Mob in the work, in the BIOC team, it's about just kind of taking away that shame.
That's it. Yeah, it's not about, you know, it's about being honest with yourself and with your, the people that are looking after you. You know, no one's life is perfect right now. Okay, well, what can we do? What are those small steps that we can do to help you to make those changes when you're ready? So I guess that's probably the thing that I've really noticed is how many women and their families, their partners, you know, mum, dad, whoever kind of thing, are all trying to, you know, work along with them. Okay, well, we were smoking 10 cigarettes a day and guess what? Now we're smoking 5, you know? Like that's all, to me, small steps but that make big changes.
Absolutely.
So I guess, you know, eating, like just sort of explaining to people what, you know, like trying to eat a little bit better might look like, you know, and just simple sort of recipe suggestions, you know, that people are like, oh, that's really easy. That's something that I could do that I, you know, is very easy to do on a day-to-day basis. You know, finding that these, you know, beautiful babies that we're having are all, you know, well over 3 kilos. You know,
nice.
A lot of them, some of them are even a little bit too chubby with their cute little chubby cheeks. You know, but that's a really positive change. You know, getting them to stay inside mum's tummy, you know, up until that sort of 37 to 42 weeks is a term baby.
Yeah.
If we can get a baby past 37, we know that they're good to go. You know, they're thriving, healthy little babies, they're going to feed well, you know, in terms of their brain growth and development and things like that. They've got a much better, you know, outlook on life as well. So that's what we're trying to encourage.
And it's not just about mum, right? It's about dad as well.
It's about
the partners and grandparents and aunties and uncles and you're creating a safe environment to bring a bub into. What work do you guys do around the partners as well as, you know, educating each other and how can you support mum in this way and, you know, what does mum need of you as well?
That's it. So we try and encourage the partners, like whoever that may be in their family, that's, you know, to come along to the appointments as well. So that, again, they're meeting us, they know who we are, they're comfortable to call us on the phone, you know, if their partner or their daughter or friend or whoever's got any problems, we want them to come to the antenatal education. So on Thursdays at our community days, family support worker and one of our midwives have both created a really beautiful, how many classes? It's just going to be a continuous every Thursday class. And the women are really loving it. Some of their partners are able to come, which is great. You know, they do some cooking, they do some, you know, they learn about how their baby's lying inside them. They've been doing pregnancy belly casts, you know, lots of beautiful artwork and things. You know, we're doing like learning how to swaddle babies, how to dress babies, change nappies, you know, all that kind of thing. But they make it really fun, you know.
That's it, hey.
It's really awesome. We've got a lot of young mums that are coming, which has been really great to
see. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you is what age demographic do you usually get your clients coming in? Is it a lot of first-time mums or young mums coming in as well?
It's a bit of everything, to tell you the truth.
Nice.
Like, you know, we've got sort of mums as young as 15 having their first baby, and then we've got mums that are, you know, sort of at their 40s having their 8th babies.
Wow.
You know, and everybody else in between.
Keep coming
so
back, eh?
That's it. they're very addictive, these babies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess, you know, there's no sort of age limitations. It's an all, you know, risk model so that basically, you know, you don't have to be a low-risk, healthy, you know, first-timer or anything like that. You know, we look after anybody who wants to come to the program.
It just proves that no matter where you're at, like bringing a baby into the world is always important. And
that's
you always
it.
Need support no matter if it's your first or your 8th.
That's it, yeah. You still need, you know, like the benefits of having a known caregiver at birth have been, you know, widely researched around the world. Australia's done most of the really, you know, groundbreaking research on that. Go Aussies. And we, you know, like it's proven how, you know, how better the health care is, the better birth outcomes, better satisfaction for women, better mental health, you know, post-birth as well, less rates of postnatal depression, you know, just from that sort of support. And then, you know, post that six weeks, we're lucky enough in our program that the women still have care until their babies are 3 years old.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, from the family support workers and, you know, from the IUE network as well. So
it's
amazing. Yep.
Yeah, I love hearing all a bit of, like, about that and how you just empower mums to go on and you know, look after themselves long term, right? Because you can't necessarily do things for them. You kind of got to give them the toolkit to build their own lives and move forward in that. So I really, you know, shout out to all the midwives out there. And for those who are just tuning in, AAA Murray Country, it's a Deadly Choices show, and International Day of Midwives next Thursday, May the 5th. So make sure you send your midwife a text, because you guys, you're pretty much 24/7 hour job, right?
That's it. It's so nice, yeah, on that day when people, you know, find you on Facebook or send you a text and say, oh my God, it's International Midwives Day, you know, like, yay for you or something. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for coming in the studio today and having a little yarn with me. I really appreciate it. And yeah, shout out to all the midwives out there. But we always ask our guests before you leave is that, you know, I always say, like, my deadly choice is trying to get better sleep. I think rest is the most important thing. And I don't know, just when you wake up and you're not rested, it just, for me, sometimes ruins the day. I try and not let it ruin the day, but it's not easy to wake up like that. But for you, what is the deadly choice that you're making right now in your life?
That's a good one. I'm actually trying to be more organized,
yeah,
to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have really good intentions of being organized, but it just doesn't happen sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And I think you just got to accept it and kind of go with the flow. Like, that's what I'm trying. Like, I always try and give myself an extra hour or something, because I know I'm very slow in the morning and I just like to ease my way into the day. But having that organization, the preparation is key, right?
That's
preparation
it.
Is so key. But no, thank you so much for coming in and having a yarn. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, we'll be back very soon.
Hi, it's Brenton Bowen, Daily Choices Ambassador, and you're listening to DC Radio.
Welcome back, you mob. AAA Murray Country. This is the Deadly Choices with your girl, Sinead Clements. It's been a bit of a cold, grey week so far, but I'm here now talking with Dr. Jonathan. How you going, Dr. Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks, Sinead. Good to have had a couple of long weekends in a row.
Right. It's been interesting, because my first long weekend, I just did as much as I could, and now I'm like, I'm paying for it and I'm still trying to catch up on my weekdays. But luckily we got a few up our sleeve, another one coming, so that's good. But it means people are out and about a lot, and it's a bit cold and muggy as well. So what should we keep in mind when it comes to COVID, I guess?
Yeah, so look, as everyone's probably aware, there's still plenty of COVID around, and probably from Easter we did have a bit of a jump in infections. Not that they went up a huge amount, but that just didn't continue that downward trend. Hopefully that's happening more this week, that we see that drop off, but there's still plenty of COVID around. So, you know, if you got your symptoms, keep yourself home, get tested, keep using a mask if you're around vulnerable people or vulnerable facilities. And hand hygiene, you know, keeping your distance, certain scenarios. So it's just being mindful about it, really, that's still around, and we still want to protect those who are more vulnerable.
Yeah, right. Now, I saw Anastasia, our PM there, Palaszczuk, she's brought out a bit more information around quarantine and ISOing. And, you know, obviously there's so many people have got it, and I know my roommate had to ISO with me, but we were both lucky that we were able to work from home. Can you tell me a bit more around the quarantining requirements?
Yeah, so as of tomorrow, Thursday, 6 p.m., they're withdrawing the need to have to be in quarantine if you're a close contact with someone who's got COVID. So that sort of household contact where you used to need to have 7 days. Now they're allowing us to not have to stay at home. But there are some provisions in that. So there are some requirements you need to follow. So first off is talking to your boss and just checking whether they want you at work or not, or whether you can work from home. If that's an option, then they'll direct you for that. If you are going to be coming to work, then you do need to wear, or going out and about anywhere actually, you need to wear a face mask. And you also need to do a rapid test every second day. So on the sort of day zero, and then day two, day four, day six. And obviously if any of those are positive, you need to stay home and isolate.
Yeah, and I think it's a given at this stage is stay away from those who are vulnerable, right? So, you know, heading into the colder months, what can we be doing as individuals to really make sure we're protecting our vulnerable people in the community?
Yeah, so I think it's all the things we know to be good at. And I think the big thing that we've got to get in our heads, and regardless of whether you've recently had COVID or not, is if you've got symptoms of a respiratory infection, stay home, because even the flu, we don't want to be passing around. And I guess more and more we're kind of going to be managing COVID in similar ways, not exactly the same as the flu, but in terms of other colds and flus. So we've kind of got to get that in our heads that, that's probably the main advice. I guess otherwise it's you know, making sure you're vaccinated and talking to your family and friends. If they're vulnerable, make sure they've had their winter booster. I think for everyone, making sure we're up to date with our third dose, if we're eligible for that as well. So that's, you know, anyone over the age 16 and over, especially with these isolation quarantine rules changing, I think it becomes even more important.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those tuning in, it's AAA Murray Country. This is the Deadly Choices Show. I'm here having a yarn with Dr. Jonathan from the Brisbane ATSIC service here in Brisbane. Now, tell me, what is the importance really around that third booster, at least particularly coming into the colder months?
Yeah, for sure it's important. And the studies that have shown the last few months in terms of the Omicron outbreak are a huge benefit from having that third dose, you know, reduction in serious illness sort of two or three times if you've had your booster. So, you know, if you don't want to end up in hospital, definitely getting two doses is great, but that third dose is really important and makes a big difference. So, encourage anyone who's eligible now. Most people should be eligible, really, who had their doses last year of the first course.
So, also, you know, I've met a few people who they got a bit confused by the testing, or they had maybe the flu or the symptoms, and they've tested, you know, almost every second, third day for a week, and it just keeps coming up negative, or they've got a positive, then a couple of days later tested a negative. Now, what should we be keeping in mind when it comes to tests, particularly around RAT tests?
Yeah. So rapid tests are great, but they aren't perfect, and they're not as good as a PCR in terms of picking up an infection. So most of them are around something like 80 to 90% sensitive to pick up someone who's got COVID, whereas the PCR tests are much closer to 100%. They're pretty good if it's a positive result that you do have COVID. There's less of those that are incorrect, but it's those sort of negative results, especially if you've got symptoms. So if you've got symptoms, you test negative on a rapid test, you really should go and get a PCR to sort of confirm it. If you don't have any symptoms and you're just doing that sort of close contact testing and you get a positive result, you may want to do a second rapid test. And if that comes up negative, you've got kind of one of each, you might want to go and get a PCR test to confirm it. But if you've got no symptoms, you've got two positive RAT tests, then you probably say, yeah, I've got COVID, and do the isolation for 7 days.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it's funny because I talked to, after having COVID, you know, my roommate, she's always calling herself, you know, superhuman now because she hung out with me and didn't get COVID. But I was just, you know, and this is me thinking, just throwing out those wild accusations. And I was like, I swear it was about sleep. It was about, you know, the moment my immune system kind of copped a bad sleep, or, you know, I was too busy and I may be too stressed. I felt like my immune system really plummeted, and that's why I couldn't really fight off the disease. And I caught COVID, and, you know, it kind of rocked me for I'd say, 4 or 5 days. I was really struggling there. But, you know, what can we be doing to, I guess, keep our immune system strong and make sure that we're doing all we can in the most, you know, natural way possible to really look after our bodies and ourselves during this pandemic that still exists?
Yeah. So I think what you said, sleep is good, resting, you know, stress levels, because those sort of stress hormones don't do good things for our immune system. Eating healthy, plenty of fruit and veggies, avoiding the kind of the fun foods just for every so often, the fast foods and that kind of thing. Exercising regularly is good for our immune system as well as good for our mental health. And, you know, I guess it's that kind of behaviour around people who are sick and keeping your hand hygiene, wearing your masks in certain situations, and looking after each other that way. So I think, you know, the stuff that we all know, but maybe we always just need that bit of a reminder going into winter. It gets cooler, we don't want to go outside as much to the exercise and you know, how we spend sort of our weekends and time away from work. So, you know, doing the positive stuff with your family. And no, there's nothing saying we shouldn't get together. I think we are all learning to live with COVID, so we still want to get those social gatherings happening, but doing it in a way that we can all look after one another.
Absolutely. I know I just moved across the road from a gym, so it's it's inspiring me to make sure I sign up because it's too cold to be going out walking. I'm from North Queensland, so this tropical girl just doesn't do winter just yet. I've been down here for a while, but I still struggle. But thank you so much, Dr. Jonathan, for coming on and having a yarn. And for those who just tuned in, it's Triple A Murray Country. We're just yarning to Dr. Jonathan. And, you know, it's so important we do all the little things that we can control to keep our health and our immune system strong right now.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Sinead. Very welcome.
Hi, it's Petro Sivanasivi here, Deadly Choices Ambassador, and you're listening to DC Radio.
Which way you mob? Triple A Murray Country. Welcome back to the Deadly Choices Show. It's me, your girl, Sinead. You know, we're just chilling out on a Wednesday, Arvi. It's been a bit of a hectic week. I know just I've been playing catch up because of so many long weekends, but, you know, I'm enjoying them long weekends. I'm not stressing no matter what. I'm just, like the doctor said, you know, stress can affect your immune system, and I'm just taking it easy. I don't know about you, Mob, but just taking it easy. That's my deadly choice these days. But now we're going to go through, we're going to hear from the Brisbane Bronco boys. They've been doing pretty well lately around our Deadly Choices launch there. And, yeah, take a listen.
Do that. I'd like to call on Renee Blackman, CEO of Oaks Brisbane, to do the acknowledgement of the country.
Morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Renee Blackman. I'm a Kabi woman from the Sunshine Coast. Look, I'm an original Southeast Queenslander. I've been here for nearly all my life, but worked a long time in the Northwest. But I'd like to acknowledge Turrbal and Yuggera people. That's the land we're standing on today. And thank everyone for coming. And also I'd like to acknowledge everyone in the room, and especially my Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander colleagues. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Look, I'd just like to personally welcome our special guest today. Obviously, CEO of the Brisbane Broncos, Dave Donaghy, Renee Blackman, as I said, Aikes CEO, newly appointed, responsible for five of our clinics across here in Southeast Queensland. And also, we've got our Deadly Choices ambassadors. I would have to say the current players, Katoni Staggs, Ezra Mann, Tamika Rupton, and Petro Sivanasiva, he's here. And also, my apologies, for Sal and Cobo, we've all been there. We've got our days mixed up, so I don't think any of us can say we're not guilty of that. Hey, look, just to give you a bit of a spiel, the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health Deadly Choices Program is focused on towards bettering the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander populations by encouraging individuals to eat healthy, maintain exercise, avoid smokes and alcohol, and keeping them up to 715 health checks, which is obviously very important. For a community. For more than 10 years, the program has been establishing a national blueprint towards a successful education and encouragement of communities to take control of their own health. And through our partnership, with obviously the Brisbane Broncos, which has been the longest standing out of all of our partnerships with Deadly Choices, to reaffirm that support, I'd like to now get Dave Donaghy, CEO of the Broncos, up and say a few words.
Thanks, Steve, and thank you, Renee, for hosting us today. Look, I'm delighted to be here today to celebrate the 11th year of our partnership with the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health Deadly Choices Program. Can I too acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet today and pay my respect to elders past, present, and emerging? As I mentioned, this is the 11th year of our partnership, so for me, in this role, it's a real honour to be standing here and making this announcement, continuing our relationship. The Institute for Urban Indigenous Health does an outstanding job to improve the health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. They do this by simple, as Steve said, but important messages and means, encouraging individuals to eat healthy, maintain exercise, and avoid smoking and alcohol. As a club, we're really proud to play our role in supporting and promoting those messages, and certainly having the Broncos logos proudly displayed on the chest of the Deadly Choices Health Check shirts. And I know our players such as Katoni and Ezra and Tamika and, of course, Petro here, our past players, and Steve as well, they're playing their part in representing the club, but also the Deadly Choices program. Real results. Improving health outcomes for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. That's what this program is about. That's what our role is about, certainly supporting and continuing our part, a small part in that. Certainly we look forward to seeing these awesome new shirts, Deadly, looking on the boys there, and Tamika as well, of course. Getting around the streets of southeast Queensland as people come in for their health checks, an incredibly important part, and certainly something that I've seen many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people wearing their shirts proudly around the streets of not just Brisbane but wide all the way through Queensland. So looking forward to seeing that roll out again this year. So look, I just want to thank the media again for joining us today. It's an important message, an important partnership that we're supporting. And working with the Institute and Deadly Choices on the incredible work that they do. So thank you again, and thank you, Renee, for having us, and all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. We speak about our partnerships, and obviously having started this, started the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health probably 12, 13 years ago. I was telling Renee how I started here. This is where I cut my teeth in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health. long time ago. So anyway, it's to hear to represent obviously our industry across the network of Institute for Indigenous Health is Renee. We'll get Renee back up to say a few words to represent the industry, represent our CEO Adrian Carson, and just to talk about how important it is, obviously with these partnerships with like the Broncos, so important to our people.
Thank you. Feel like Prime Minister.
No, I don't.
No, look, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you, Dave, for that. I just want to talk from the heart about how absolutely important this partnership is. This, for me, I've been with the Institute for a long time, and in my career, I've been in Aboriginal health ever since I left school, right? So I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I have been doing this for over 30 years. And one of the best things I've ever done is actually come and work for our Aboriginal community controlled health services, not to mention Queensland Health wasn't too bad, right? But I think working back in our community for the organisations that we own, the organisations that we are a part of, that actually we belong to and we feel that we own, this to me is a really logical partnership, that we can utilise. You know, deadly people like these mob over here, it takes a lot to do what you fellas do. And I don't think that a lot of people understand exactly what elite sports people have to do. And lending your name to this sort of a brand, I think, is one of it's very inspiring, for one, but it's an inspired idea. Because one of the things that our mob own, love, enjoy, is our rugby league, right? And we love our rugby league players, men and women. And lending your name to it actually... to me, is logical in making sure that our mob, one, listen. You know, the shirts are a great idea. The shirts, I remember when we first bought the shirts, you know, Steve, there was a little bit of contention over, what, we're giving people shirts for health checks. What's going on there? You know, people should just want to be healthy. Yeah, right. That doesn't work. But when you offer a bit of an incentive, you know, and a bit of a pat on the back at the same time, it actually starts a different conversation with people, and that's what this has done. And then to go a little bit deeper and actually make a partnership with a great team and organisation out there like Broncos, I think adds a little bit more. So from IUWI as well as from ATSIC Brisbane, we look forward to further partnership. We look forward to a long partnership and a long relationship with you guys. And we also look forward to, yes, rolling out the new shirts, but also rolling out and continuing to roll out really great health checks and better health outcomes for our people. So that's all I've got to say, really. But thank you very much for everyone that came today. Really enjoyed this. As what I've been in this role now for, like, this is my fifth day on the job. Not a first gig in front of a mic, as you can tell. I used to do Steve's job. I was really happy when he came along. Looking forward to more of these and more launches and more opportunities to celebrate this sort of stuff. So thanks very much, everyone.
Thanks, Renee. We'll get the players up now, and obviously, as spoken about, Renee did mention it's so important, this partnership. Brisbane Broncos have sort of put us on the team. We joined up with these guys and partnered with them using the brand, and they've actually what they've done for our brand across the country has just been that there's nothing like it in the country. So we really appreciate the partnership and the talk about that and talk about our Deli Choices program. I'll give the players up. So we'll just start up. We'll start across to Coney, and then we'll work our way across. So just to give us some idea of your own individual, individual work with Deli Choices since you've been involved.
Yeah, I've been at the club for 5 years, and I've been doing this for a couple of years now, and to be part of the Deli Choices. Honour and very grateful, especially for my background where I come from, to a town called Wellington, New South Wales, and for this to come out and help our people and to get on the right track and to be healthy and fit as well, and to reward them with a shirt if that's what it takes, and to put a smile on their face as well. And,
thanks, man. Same question. You know, what's you've been involved for a while, just. Bit of an idea how long you've been involved and what you've done during your time.
Yeah, so I've been with Deli Choices for just over a year now, and I'm pretty fortunate. I'm an ambassador, so I get to do a lot of the groundwork, and probably my favourite part is going into the schools and seeing the programs with the kids, especially with the Brisbane Bronco. They've got such an amazing partnership, and they've got such great Indigenous icons which all the kids look up to, and I can tell you that's probably their favourite part, is watching the videos of all the players. So they really aspire to be like that, and that's probably the most rewarding part.
Thank you. Ted, you want to jump in?
Yes. Yeah, I guess for myself, my involvement with obviously the Broncos, long-standing, and then continuing on, I've been with Deadly Choices now for the last 5 years. It's been a wonderful role. I get to be an ambassador along the likes of Tamika and all the other legends. It's lovely the fact that we can use the profile of our sport, the game that we love, to go out and have an impact, a positive impact on the community. The fact that this partnership with the Broncos, an iconic club, partnering with an amazing program like Deadly Choices, just has so much impact in the community, in the wider community especially. So I guess for when Tamika and I are fortunate enough to go out to the community, whether it's far western Queensland, up to the Cape, up to Torres Strait Islands, it's amazing to see the absolute passion for Deadly Choices and that that commitment and that partnership with the Brisbane Broncos just solidifies that. So it's amazing, and thank you to Dave and the Broncos again for what's been an amazing partnership, and it's going to continue for many more years to come.
Thanks, Mike. Ezra, you'd be a newest mate, but you would have grown up with Deadly Choices. You want to talk about that as well?
Yeah, my grandparents sort of, grew up around this area, so I was sort of basically born into the movement growing up. So, to finally be a part of it, they're very grateful that I can continue what they started and just share it to the community.
Thanks, mate. Hey, I've got to... But Tony, you got the different one. What do you think about the shirts?
Yeah, actually, it's a different one this year, but I like the collars. The collars are pretty cool, and the design around it, comes out, and I'll be going to get a check up if you want to meet for sure.
Do you want to give us a bit of history about the one you got on?
Yeah. I think it's
really good. So do you, Tamika? I think it'll work out a bit more to look a bit more better at it. But no, I think it's a great shirt. I think the design comes from the 95 World Sevens.
Yeah.
I think the Broncos first wore this colour, and I think I got to wear it a few years after that. I think it was one of those colours that I think that I think surprised a few people when we first brought it out. But I think it's something that I know, especially in the community, they love. It's something different. But again, with the Broncos logo on it,
very good.
So, Tamika, just to talk about our partnership, obviously, with Deadly Choices with the NRLW, and obviously you've been a part of that, and how important that has been?
Yeah, definitely. So the NRL, it's in its fourth year, so really exciting that Deadly Choices got on board, and each year you see, especially with the Broncos, more Indigenous talent, which is amazing as the game's expanding to the wider regions, and I'm confident there'll be more Indigenous girls coming through, so really grateful for the partnership.
Yeah, look, you've been obviously one of the very successful players, and one of my favourites anyway. You like to score tries, which is always good. Just on that, with the girls, you had a good season. You didn't do the four peak, but still must be happy with the way the girls performed.
Yeah, definitely. It was a pretty disrupted season. Obviously, that was the postponed season we were supposed to have last year. And we had, I think it was 11 new debutants this year took the field. So I think that's just for the better of the game and for the Broncos especially, that, you know, we got some new girls in there. And they'll be prepped and ready for the end of the year.
That's good. Thank you. I think we don't have so many, but Ezra, I'll just get your thoughts. You're right there at the moment. The boys obviously had a great game on Friday night, and it's looking forward to hopefully getting you to do some time with the club.
Yeah, and just being amongst the boys at training every week is a good learning experience for me. And as the weeks go on, I feel like that I'm learning more and more as I go. When the time comes, the time will come. But right now, I'm just happy to be playing good footy and just see what happens from there.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for that interview. Open the floor.
Hey everyone, Steve Randolph here, Pearls of Wisdom. Katoni Staggs, thanks for being on today, mate. You got in a rich vein of form at the moment. You must be very happy with that.
Yeah, I am, especially coming from a knee injury and only playing four games last year. And, I'm happy to where I am now and the performance that I've been dishing out. And, hopefully it just gets a little bit better. And I'm happy where I am and knee's feeling good.
Yeah, mate, you talked about that earlier on about that early ball and getting clean ball. It's so important to an outside back.
Yeah, 100%. You know, when you get early ball and when it's straight on your chest or right in front of you, you can do more things and you don't have to think about it. When you do get a not so good ball and you have to turn or, your body around, and sometimes after that, they could rush it and hit you with hospital pastures, them kind of balls. And when you get a nice clean ball, I can do a little bit more better getting to outside my centre. But it's been good, and I have been getting some clean ball and working with my winger Cobbo.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Selwyn. You guys are striking up a bit of a partnership out there, and both great players, and you're just looking good and having fun.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, is having fun. But at the same time, I'm trying to build a combination with my edge, and I've had a lot of different plays throughout the years. But to have one strong edge, consistently, it makes the our team play a bit better, and knowing each other as well and what they're good at and what they're not good at. So me and Selwyn, we've worked out and we've gotten together now, and he trusts me, I trust him, and he's just having fun like he did on the weekend. That try that he scored, I don't know how he got that ball, but he got it down, and that's the things you can do, when you're having fun and trusting one another.
Yeah, that's great, mate. Just talk about the game coming up. Obviously, everyone's talking about you and Talakai, and mate, you just give us your take on how that's going to go.
Yeah, like I said, he's been playing really good footy, and I'll give credit to him. But on the other hand, it's a test for me, and what I can do as well. And I'm just gonna, come out and just do what I've been doing week in and week out, and that's just backing myself and playing what's in front of me. So nothing's gonna change with me, and I'm just gonna go out there and do what I can do.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate your time.
Cheers. Thank you, brother.
We got our up-and-coming star here, obviously, Ezra Mam. Ezra, thanks for being on today. Mate, just give us a little bit of history, obviously, with your grandma and granddad and working with Deadly Choices.
Yeah, so my grandparents were one of the they were both one of the founding members for the movement, in this building and around the wider community. And they sort of just, they just kept working away at it as I was growing up, and I happened to just, be at the Broncos with the partnership with Deadly Choices and all that sort of stuff. So I slowly find my way back into the program, and just happy to be helping out.
It always seems like it was going to be a natural fit, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I sort of had no choice. Like, being so big in the the grandparents being too big in the family.
Yeah.
We always looked up to them, and this is what they started. So, you know, happy to keep working on it.
Mate, the same here. We were all proud of them as well, mate. So, let's talk about your footy. You've been happy with your form in the Q Cup?
Yeah, I think I started off. Personally, I think I started off pretty rusty.
Yeah.
In the first couple of rounds, but I'm starting to find my feet now, and you know, building a lot of confidence from that. And I've been having a couple of review sessions with the coaches at the club, and they've just given me more tips to put into my game, and they're been working for me, so I'm just got to keep working at it, and yeah.
Very good, mate. Have you got to spend much time around Adam Reynolds and what he's been able to give to the club?
Oh, I can't get away from him. His lock is right next to me, so.
Oh, good. That's great.
He's good having around the club. Taught me a lot of things now, and just to see where he looks at the game from a different perspective is just crazy, and you know, slowly taking those points and like working into my game. I'm slowly building it. Nobody's perfect, so I just like to work on that and keep asking, just chew his ear off, and just keep getting those tips.
And that's what he's there for, mate. Yep. So you're looking forward, and hopefully, if not soon or sometime this year, get your debut.
Yeah, hopefully, I just do my review sessions with the coaches. Kevy gives me a little. He has little goals for me that he sets to do each week and at the game. So I've been trying to, work on those goals, and hopefully I, start playing some good footy and can push my way into the side.
That's awesome, mate. Thank you for your time.
How good was that? It's always good to get the yarns from the boys. They're doing quite well, actually, at the moment, the Brisbane Broncos. They took on, who was it, the Bulldogs, Canterbury Bulldogs, and kind of gave it to them 34-14 last week. But tomorrow night they're going to take on the Sharks. Sharkies are doing really well. They got that solid centre there running amok. Good luck to them. But, hopefully the Bronx, I think they're just sitting outside the top eight too. So fingers crossed they can do what they got to do to maybe do a bit of an upset and get back into the top eight. That's always important. But you mob, that's us for this week, the Deadly Choices Show with your girl, Shanae Clements. It's always deadly to come on and have a yarn every Wednesday night, 6 p.m. at AAA Murray Country. You know what it is. But, your mob, keep making those deadly choices. It's so important. You keep exercising, and even during those colder months. I know I'm a real tropical princess here, so I always struggle during the winter months. But I love my jackets and I love my hoodies and jumpers. So, just dial yourself up and go for sign up to the gym if you can, honestly, because I'm not going for a walk out in this weather. It's a bit too much for me. But it's always deadly to have a yarn with you, mob, and continue to yarn about deadly choices, and it's good that we have choices and making the right ones now for not only ourselves but our future and our family, and just keeping our culture strong. So head to your 71, get your 715 health check, head to your local community controlled health service. You can find out the one nearest clinic to you on www.deadlychoices.com.au, and there's such a deadly range of 2022 Deadly Choices shirts. So make sure you go and cop yourself a new shirt, and you'll be styling it up, eh? But that's all from me today. And if you want to hear more of our Deadly Choices content and our yarns and our interviews, you can head to our Facebook page for our weekly live sessions. That includes things like the Pearls of Wisdom podcast, Good Quick Tucker. There's some awesome meals there to keep you warm during winter. Keep you healthy too, don't just having all those crazy carbs. But there's Deadly Kindies to keep your jar-jums active and entertained and wear them out. DC Fit that you can do from your lounge room, which is very beneficial right now. But there's so much more yarns there that make sure you tune into, and you can learn some awesome stuff there. But that's all from me today, tonight. Remember, you can catch me same time, same place, the Deadly Choices Show here on AAA Murray Country. Every Wednesday night, 6 p.m. And until then, your mob, keep making them deadly choices, eh?
Deadly Choices Radio.
A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand on Triple A Murray Country.